From within the shadow of the Golden Circle cannery, within Cooey of the Swamp in beautiful downtown Northgate, it's the Blather number 15 on Ratbag Radio. Dave Riley speaking. Sorry about the absence of Ratbaggery this last month or so, but with one thing and another, the world has not been kind to the recording of our blathers. We have, you should note, been producing two other podcasts which have recently premiered out there, the same place where all this noise is coming from. So we've had a few multimedia moments since last we jawed. Moments we can still claim as our own. But more on that later. It has taken us some time, but in today's show we will try to add our auditory weight and our podcastable presence to the pressing question of work choices, the new way of doing the working week according to the Australian Federal Government. What a turn of phrase this is. Work choices. Let's look at the optional preferences in small print, shall we?
You don't mean, do you, Minister, that under these IR changes that an unemployed person will need to accept any job, regardless of the conditions offered?
Well, yes. He has no choice. If he doesn't take the job, no matter what the conditions, he loses his benefit. We don't make any excuses for that.
No one is asking you to make excuses.
Well, they won't get any.
But we would like some clarification.
You got it.
Oh, yes, I suppose we did. But correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't it mean, in the long run, wages and conditions would tend to deteriorate?
Ah, but you missed the key point. They'll be working. We believe that the best form of welfare that a person can have is to have a job, and remembering this, when a person gets a job, it is the best way of getting
another job. But what sort of job would that be?
A paying job. What other kinds are there?
But how much pay and under what employment conditions?
That's up for discussion between the parties concerned. You know, across the table.
But you said, Minister, that if the unemployed person doesn't take the job, no matter what the conditions, he loses his benefit.
So?
Well, how can that be a matter for discussion?
It just is. I'm sure they'll discuss it. I'm not a fly on the wall, you know.
But surely the result is foregone, isn't it? As a person on the dole has to accept the job no matter what.
No matter what?
They'll lose their benefit, won't they, if they say no?
I don't quite follow you. They can still choose not to take the job.
And lose their benefit?
Or take the job. That's choice. That's free enterprise.
But what sort of choice is that?
Remember, if they don't like that particular job, they can go looking for another. That's what we're doing. Creating jobs. There'll be tons of jobs out there once these changes set in.
Paying and offering less.
I don't know that, do I? I'm not a fly on the wall.
But it stands to reason.
What's that got to do with it?
This is all about choices. The bloody thing's called work choices, for Christ's sake. But the unemployed person won't have any.
Then they shouldn't have been so unemployed in the first place.
These changes to the workplace have been the topic of a few protests of late. Maybe not as many as you'd expect and would hope for, but within the proletariat. Great word, that, proletariat. But within the proletariat, at least within some sections of the class, oops, there's another one of those words again. There's been a right big hullabaloo. Since I seem to be sentenced to reside within that same body politic with so many fine men and women, and in my case, with never a chance of making it anywhere bourgeois and getting remunerated accordingly, I thought I'd bend an ear to some of these wage slaves' collective opinions on the matter as expressed at employee gatherings over this last month, which began, as May would have it, with its very own May Day.
Solidarity of working Australians. We are the missiles, mighty and proud.
We are the missiles, mighty and proud.
We are right to work.
First party,
first.
We are right to work.
and we're going to do what we can to get rid of them. We estimated about 20,000 here today, and I think that we're about 35,000. It's fantastic. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Very quickly.
The second message.
This is a great day today. A fantastic day today. But what you got to do is you got to turn out on the next day of action. June the 28th is the next day. Strike Howard out!
Fix Roger Howard's working people matter. They are the heart and soul of this great nation, and you can't take away the dignity and respect we have for each other. Not only do we matter, but in fact we'll stand side by side with each other, because we will not stand by and see people sacked unfairly. We will not see working families stripped of their penalty rates so they can't make ends meet. We will not see individual contracts replace decent enterprise agreements. And you know what? It doesn't matter what the laws say, because we will never, ever give up the campaign for rights and work.
Your rights at work worth fighting for. Come on, let's do the chant. Your rights at work
worth fighting for. Your rights at work worth fighting for. Your rights at work worth fighting for.
There's passion aplenty, it seems. The Australian Council of Trade Unions has called an NDA, a National Day of Action, for June 28th. This is a great opportunity for we struggling proles to make it known that we don't much like the choices on offer to choose from work choices. So make a note of that date, June 28th. Mentally book yourself off work now and make certain that when you go, you take all your workmates with you. In between now and then, get in touch with your union and make sure that all the organising that can be done is being done. Because if we don't kick up a stink, make a stand as it were, we'll be stuck with no choice but work choices. And as they say, our rights at work worth fighting for. Recently I had an opportunity to catch up with some professional workers at a city wine bar, whose name and location, for the moment, must remain a secret. They were not your standard blue singlet types, not proles in the traditional sense of a term, but men of mature outlook and experience. The illogical enthusiasm and language one usually associates with primitive trade unionism failed to visit our conversation. Indeed, we had a jolly time, mainly because we all shared the same or similar outlook on the question of industrial reform. "How the hells are yous?" I said. "Still working?"
We are,
I said. "Still doing the work week thing? Still putting in the hours? Still the ones driving reform?"
Still the ones.
It makes me so glad to hear it. You're a great bunch of Aussies, you know that. A great bunch. I mean it. You should be real proud of yourselves. Despite all this hoo-ha and such, despite them carry on about, what's that name again?
Work choices.
Yeah. Despite what they say, you know different, don't you? Now that we're enjoying the freedom of choice. With the unions reckoning you'd be working longer and all that, you're working now, what, 38, 40 hours per week?
60.
Right, 60. Well, that's your choice, isn't it? You're after the extra hours, right? A little extra cash? Comes in handy, doesn't it? Greed is good, after all. Anyway, you're only just signed on, right? Give it time. But the main thing is the progress we're making. We're reforming workplaces, and the key aspect of that is
smashing the union.
Offering choice. That's the ticket. Flexibility. Free choice. Rewarding effort. Who could fail to support such a lofty ideal? There's hardly a man or woman alive who won't benefit. Australians, one and all, are saying, reform. We want it.
We want it.
Of course you do. You want the jobs that will follow. The prosperity. The option to balance work and family. And it's all ours just as soon as we defeat the archaic work practices that now cripple and enslave us. Because in our way stands
the trade union,
the rigid system of industrial-wide awards, the reactionary culture of overtime, and the essence of workplace reform is
longer working hours.
Lower wages.
Who said that? Come on, own up. Whereas one here, reformers all, don't go dumb on me. It's not that, is it? The essence of work choices is? Anyone?
An end to the stand-over role of the trade union movement.
That's the ticket. Union power is what stands between us and free choice. Between us and more jobs. Between us and prosperity. And it always has. So what do we say? What do the stakeholders here say? Choice at work. We're for it. Sure you are. In the meantime, Ratbag Radio will again attempt to schedule our podcast while we sort out our sundries. You know, all the DIY and hardware stuff, as we are retooling this month. And along with this investment and stuff, geeky stuff, I've just completed a course in broadcasting at 4EB, an ethnic radio station here in Brisbane. As soon as I complete my internship in practicing and pass an exam, I can sign on as a bona fide panel operator, like a DJ, in fact. This doesn't mean that I'm giving up on podcasting and turning to terrestrial broadcasting instead. God forbid. No, I'm learning what I can about audio so that I can more quickly negotiate this journey I'm on. Ah, what a journey I'm on. Loving it. Loving it. I also get to link up with some great podcasting significant others such as Robert, a Dane living in Scotland who produces one of my favourite podcasts, Hans Island.
Hey Dave, best wishes from sunny Scotland, moving further away from the Arctic Circle by the day. Thanks, George. The Kyoto thing is becoming to politicians what Macbeth is to actors, ain't it? Actors call it the Scottish play, and politicians call it that Japanese agreement. Anyway, listening in from Scotland, you've always got good subject matter on your podcasts, and I, for one, am part of the Ratbag Steady Listeners crowd. Keep it up. All the best from Robert in Scotland, home of Hans Island Podcasts. There you go. Cheers, Dave.
Thank you, Robert. And you can visit Hans Island, the podcast, not the actual real estate, which is a small parcel of land somewhere off the west coast of Greenland, by going to the address in the show notes. Robert sent me his greeting from his kitchen table, where his greenoid satiric bent apparently congeals at intermittent intervals. By employing a new interface I've just set up, you too can send a similar spoken message by going to the show notes and interacting. There you'll find a link which says, Send Ratbag Radio an audio comment. Click on the URL and the audio recording studio will open up. If you have a microphone plugged into your computer, please click on Record and send Ratbag Radio a recorded message. Doing this is as easy as pie. I'll start playing some of these feedback comments on the program. I even hope to be doing interviews that way or recruit the occasional correspondent. Please feel free to send audio comments whenever the vocal fancy takes you. Don't tell anyone, but sst. It's our cheap answer to John Laws, Alan Jones, and Everything Talkback. If you have anything to say about work choices or some other topic that is in any shape or form appertaining to ratbaggery, share it. The nation has its ear out just for you. Trust me, I know what the masses want, and they want to hear what you want to say. Also in the show notes, you'll find links to the two new podcasts I've set up. Check them out if that's your special fancy and disposition. By the end of the month, I hope to have yet another podcast going, up and running with its audio bits and pieces packaged just so. Such that I can boast to being the CEO of a worldwide podcast network. And if you can't get enough of me, and I guess that could be possible, on my blog, The Life of Riley, I'm now audio blogging and with now and then 3-minute throwaway commentaries on whatever seems like a good idea at the time. That's right, I'm keeping an ear out. As one with the proletarian masses, the many voices of Labour, but not the Australian Labour Party. No, not them. Well, that's your lot for today. You can contact Ratbag Radio by sending an email to ratbagradio@yahoo.com.au or interface at the Ratbag Radio forums via our webpage. And you'll find us on the web at ratbagradio.blogspot.com. ratbagradio.blogspot.com. And don't forget that the best way to keep getting what we have to offer is to subscribe to our podcast feed. Ratbag Radio sometimes goes out to air on Nimbin FM Radio in rural New South Wales, and if we aren't too much exclusively in Down Under mode, bits of our pieces may even be broadcast on occasion via Upstart Radio, which hails from the United States of America. And don't forget our easy audio commentary option. Just go to the Ratbag Radio webpage, click on the link to say your piece. Talk to you next time, when our next time won't be so far away as this time was.